Welcome to Focus on the Community on Memories 107.9 and the General 95.9 and 1580 WAMW. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber. Each week we shine a spotlight on topics important to our community. Focus on the Community is sponsored by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligonier. Well, I'm excited this week to have a special guest on. This is a part of our series talking about the Daviess County Sheriff's Race. And I want to welcome Mr. Gary Allison to the show. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing good, Grant. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. And Gary, you're currently the chief deputy of the Sheriff's Department. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I know you've been there quite some time. Why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got involved there and just your background?
Okay. Well, I grew up with my granddad's dairy farm out in Veal Township.
Okay.
Many years ago.
And the Allisons have been in Daviess County a long time, is that right?
Long time, right. Yeah, we've been here for, I think since 1820. We can go back to that.
But, wow. You've not been here since 1820.
Oh, Lord, no.
Okay.
No, 66.
I see. I ask other people's this, but I hope I don't step on your toes. How old does that make you if you're 66 model?
51.
Yep. Wow.
Yep.
So good for you. Yeah. So you're from Veal Township.
Well, I grew up in Washington, but
okay.
You know, my family's from out in Veal Township.
Gotcha.
And, graduated from Washington High School in 1985 and went to Vincennes University where I got a degree in criminal justice, associate's degree from there. And in 1987, I was hired by Sheriff Everett Beasley as a jailer, a radio operator.
Sheriff Beasley was sheriff a long time.
Right, he was a 16-year sheriff.
Wow.
So just like Sheriff Harpstrike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, 32 years out of just two guys. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, but anyway, I was radio operator, and I got appointed as a reserve deputy. And then in 1993, I got appointed deputy, which if you knew us then compared to what we are now, we were a lot smaller.
But, sure, sure.
I've seen a lot of change in the past 30
absolutely.
Years.
Absolutely. So 30 years, so starting with Beasley and then Cox.
No, then it was okay. Alan Evans.
Oh, okay, Alan Evans.
And then Jerry for eight, and then Steve Cox, and then Jerry Harpstrike again.
Wow, that's amazing.
So
that's a lot of experience there. Mm-hmm. So,
97, I became a detective. Okay, and then I was detective investigator for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
Out of that.
So even here recently, you were still a detective, is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I was assigned to the Drug Enforcement Administration as a task force officer out of Evansville.
The DEA, right?
Yeah, I was with DEA as a task force officer, and that was a learning experience. But we've been associated with them for quite some time. We've actually been working with them since 2000, so I've been doing that for a long time, so I miss my back when I was a real police officer.
I understand that. Yeah. And now you're the chief deputy, is that right?
Right.
Number two in the department.
Correct.
And how long have you been that?
5 years ago, Sheriff Harpstrike came to me and said if I was interested in running for sheriff, that I probably needed to step up and be chief deputy.
So, sure.
I stepped up to be his chief deputy, and it's been a rewarding experience.
That's wonderful. So you've had a lot of different experiences in law enforcement. What would you say your favorite thing that you've got to do? What's that been?
All of it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always liked working drugs.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And why? Just because you're trying to figure out what's going on and put the pieces together?
Put the pieces together. When you work drugs and you make those big seizures, see, my largest seizure was 17 pounds of methamphetamine coming here from Louisville, Kentucky. And over my career, I seized almost $750,000.
Wow.
Of drug money that some of it got brought back here. You split it up on the team. But so that was a rewarding experience for me.
Absolutely.
And I do miss it sometimes.
Instead of probably as chief deputy, you do a lot more administrative stuff.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, you... it's all fine and good until you have to tell someone no.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, you've done a lot of different things. It seems like you got a lot of experience for this position. Now, a lot of people ask, and I think there's some obvious response to that, but people have asked me, what does the sheriff actually do? Can you kind of take me through the sheriff's office, what the responsibilities are.
Okay, the sheriff's office, it's lined out by state statute what they're responsible for.
That's right.
They're responsible for security of the courts. They're responsible for housing of inmates within the county. And the jail is the biggest thing that the sheriff is responsible for. He's also responsible for the deputies, for public safety, and things along those lines. We're officers of the court. We got a lot of civil process that we have to serve.
That's a lot. That number's not going down, is it?
It is not going down, no. No. And on top of that, we got a lot of complaints that we answer now.
Sure.
The complaints we answer now to compared to when I was starting, these guys run constantly.
Yeah.
You know.
And so it makes sense that you have the sheriff's office department is a lot bigger than it was, like you said, when you
right.
started.
Yeah. When I started, we held prisoners for Davies and Pike County.
I see.
And I came to work one Saturday night and had 8 inmates for both counties. So
that's amazing. What would we have now?
We're up 220.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, some of those are out of county that we're holding for other counties whose
sure.
jails are overcrowded. But
what do you attribute that to? Why from 8 to 220? Because it's not like, I mean, we've had that much of an uptick in, well,
in
explain
population.
That.
Well, I think our law enforcement is more aggressive now. We
okay.
can be because we've got the officers to do it with.
Sure.
The state laws have changed somewhat. You know, House Bill 1006 has been a huge bugaboo to some sheriffs.
Tell me about that.
House Bill 1006 is a bill that rolls inmates that would have normally went to the state
okay.
back to the county.
They stay local.
They stay local. And because of that, I mean, there's probably 30 counties in the state that's having to build jails.
Wow.
There's a lot of jail overcrowding problems.
I'd say the architects were big lobbyists for House Bill 1006, huh?
Probably so, yeah.
The builders.
But, you know, and I'm on a committee that works with sheriffs that work up at the state house to try to get things changed
yep.
on that type of stuff. It's not really affecting us yet here, but it will eventually.
Sure.
If we don't get something done about it. So, you know, there's a lot of heads-up things that you got to be aware of out
right.
there.
Well, that's a lot of good information there. I think you really laid out well what the Sheriff's Department does. Tell me, what do you think of, what type of attributes would you say does a good sheriff have? I mean, what types of things would you see?
A good sheriff has to be open to the public. My door is always open. I always answer my phone when it rings. He's got to be responsive to the public, and he's got to do what's right.
Sure.
You know.
Integrity, yeah.
Integrity is a big part of that.
I like that. That's a good answer. And so, I mean, I was telling you before we started here, I mean, I see you guys working all the time. You're at basketball games. You're at public events. Anywhere where there's a lot of people, I always see a deputy out there.
That's right. Back in 06 or 07, I got sent to a community policing training course. And it was so we could qualify for that grant that we got then, that $2 million grant back in the day. And there was probably 35 police officers at this. And at the end of the week, I was the only one left smiling because I was like, we already do all this. We are already
funny.
A community police department. We
right.
don't even call ourselves that.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, there's a lot of good things that are going on in our community, and in particular, I think in the sheriff's race. I mean, it seems to be very positive so far.
Right.
Just this past several weeks, I see you guys talking, and you're friendly with each other, and I really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the questions I had though was, you know, why did you decide to run for sheriff? I mean, how did this come to you in your mind? You said 5 years ago you were thinking about it. How'd it come up?
It's been no secret that if I was given the opportunity that I would run for sheriff. I've had an awesome career and
a lot of experience
and I'm ready to top it off by being the sheriff of Davies County and working for the people the way that I've always been working for the people for the past 30 years.
Sure. So it's got to be nerve-wracking. I mean, when you put that name on the ballot, it's hard. You open yourself up
right.
to all sorts of
yep.
any comments.
Yep, yep. But I think people know that, you know, this has been my life.
Right.
And I'm excited to move on up to where I need to be.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm on here with Chief Deputy of the Davies County Sheriff's Department, Gary Allison. And we are talking about the upcoming election for sheriff and just the different roles and responsibilities of a sheriff and his background. And I want to talk to you a little bit more about your role currently. And obviously you're the number two guy there. But tell me, if you were to become successful in this race, what types of things would you do differently, or what types of things would you want to keep in place and maybe expand? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, we're always looking to expand and improve on what we've got. The course that we have at the sheriff's office was set many years ago, and we've constantly been improving that. You know, when we get an inmate into our jail, it's like I tell high school kids, we've got the RARE program down there, and we've got 30 people that are trying real hard to get better, and then we've got 100 that's not, you know. Drug addiction, any addiction, be it alcoholic. An alcoholic's just as sad as someone that's coming down off heroin that we see in our jail. They take a lot of our staff's time.
Absolutely. But, the RARE program, just so people know, that's...
Resisting Addiction Recovery Education.
Okay.
I'll tell you, I was waist deep in meth labs back whenever it first came here, and
just a lot of it, right?
There was a lot everywhere. It was everywhere, so much so that I got to go to Quantico and was trained through DEA and
Quantico, Virginia, you know, DC area.
Yeah.
Okay.
And was trained on how to to take apart meth labs safely and that type of thing. But you know, it doesn't. It's the decision people make. Mm-hmm. You know, that we try to get clarified, and we've had several people come through our program, and we know they're not coming back.
Right.
And back in the day, I would have never said that. I would have never seen where people could get better off of meth and some of these other drugs.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, just the difference in people's lives when they're making good decisions continuously versus making bad decisions. Mm-hmm. If they're making bad decisions, at some point they're going to be in your jail.
That's right.
And it's just who you spend time with and all sorts of things. What is common in those circles is what everybody in those circles is going to do. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
So the RARE program is, I mean, I've heard so many good things about it. And I know you've been an active participant, and you've been really involved with that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we know who's posing and who's really in there being sincere, and we try to keep the sincere people in there so we can get those folks help.
You said there's maybe 20 people in the program, is that
30,
right?
30 around people? 30 usually, yeah.
And it seems like they've had a lot of success. I mean, people that come out of that and have really changed their lives.
You don't see them again, and that's the point of it.
Sure.
You know, and then people that come back time after time after time, usually when they hit rock bottom is when they're like, okay, I'm ready.
Right.
Ready for help.
Well, that's wonderful. That's definitely something that you talked about you wanted to expand. What other things would you like to see changed, or what would you like to keep going in the same direction we're going? Tell me a little bit about that.
Okay, we've got a lot of different programs there. There's one that I'm looking at that I'm really interested in. It's Operation Lifesaver, and I'm going to have to be looking into some grant funding for that. It's for people with Alzheimer's and autistic children.
Okay.
You can get a little apparatus and put on them, and then if they wander, because these folks are prone to wander, you can track them down.
Oh, wow.
Really easy.
That's neat.
It looks promising.
Sure. And here recently, I know the jail is a big part of the county budget, and it's obviously a big part of
the largest budget.
Yeah. It's a big part of what the sheriff does. So we just had a big change with that. I mean,
I was able to pay it off and get out from underneath it years early.
That was exciting.
That was great. Yeah, we were so happy to be able to, and we've got one of the best facilities in Indiana.
It's phenomenal. I know we take where all do we take people from, and have you seen that as being successful or
Vigo, Vandenberg, Hamilton, Monroe. No, not Monroe, Marion.
Marion?
Yeah.
A lot of the more populous counties, is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we're fortunate to have what we've got, and we're fortunate have it paid off when we did.
We've always been real fortunate here, because you look around, you look up at Vigo County and the mess they've got up there. Look at Vandenberg County. They opened a brand new jail up 5 years ago, and it was overcrowded the day they opened it.
Wow.
Because they didn't look forward. They didn't set aside the funds to do it right. And Daviess County has always done stuff right.
Seems like, yeah, I mean, it seems like when the council decided to implement that, they were set that just as soon as they could, they were going to pay that thing off and,
be
done with it. Several years earlier.
Now we're on to the next project, which is the county courthouse annex.
Talk a little bit about that. Tell me your thoughts on the annex project and where we're going with it.
Well, the courthouse is very crammed. I know because I'm there every day. And they do need the expansion. It's got to happen.
Sure.
And looks to me like they're going to do due diligence and build a nice building for that as well. The thing is, we're going to have to provide security for that. So we're working on that.
Never a dull moment.
No, we're working on that with them. So, you know, if you told me 30 years ago we'd have deputies in schools, I'd said, well, you're crazy.
That's crazy.
But now we've got one in North Daviess and one at Bar Reeve, and they're needed.
Absolutely necessary. Absolutely necessary, just with what's going on in our country and scary things. You see stuff on the news.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this is kind of off script here, but tell me about your most interesting police story that you can tell us about.
Oh, man. You're going to have to. I don't know, there's been so many.
Yeah.
You know, when I was with DEA, I worked all over southern Indiana.
Sure.
And
we based out of Evansville, right?
Right. Yeah,
sure.
In Indianapolis. And we was up there for a takedown, and I was supposed to have an ATF SWAT team on my group, and the investigation got compromised, and ATF's like, since Waco, we won't go.
Wow.
So I had to go find Dewey Poskins, who's 6 months away from retirement. And I said, Dewey, we got to go get this guy now, and we don't have anybody. And so we went and grabbed six from the north and six from the south off Metro, and we pull up, and it's broad daylight, and it's the ghetto in Indy, and we're sitting between two houses. I'm looking at Dewey, and I'm thinking,
did I sign up for this?
Yeah, how in the world did a kid from the cornfields of Daviess County end up here? We got it, and we got him done, and we got him in custody and didn't have any trouble.
Good for you. That's interesting. Well, we're on with Gary Allison, Chief Deputy of the Daviess County Sheriff's Department, and one of the things I want to ask you about is just some of the role models that you've had, and who do you look up to now that you're running for this office? Who are some people that have been important to you?
Well, of course, the sheriff has been important to me. And
Sheriff Harbstreit.
Yeah, Sheriff Harbstreit and Steve Cox. And, you know, whenever I started, I was calling some guys Papaw, and now I'm getting called Papaw. But those law enforcement officers that I started out with, they mean a lot to me and still do.
Absolutely. Well, we probably know a lot about how you'll be because you've operated with some of the best and some of the well-known folks here in Daviess County.
Right.
32 years worth just between those two. And then how long was Cox again? 4 years?
Four. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
When is the election?
It's May the 8th.
Okay, May the 8th. And will that be the entire thing, or is that?
Well, the Democrats have till some date in July to find someone to run against whoever wins the Republican nomination.
Right. And so the general will be in November then, correct?
Right, November.
So anybody can file between now and what's the deadline to file?
I'm not sure.
Okay, I think it's sometime in January or February.
Sometime in January, February.
Yeah.
I think the opening day is like January 10th.
Uh-huh. And kind of something that I didn't really know that I've learned recently is that the sheriff doesn't really have to be a policeman. I mean,
no.
They can have a variety of backgrounds.
They do. Like I said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I've seen sheriffs that come into office and see. The last time we had the elections, I was up there for the sheriff school, and they have the Sheriff Association puts on like a 4-day course for newly elected sheriffs, and when you're sitting there and you say, okay, this guy, yeah, he has no law enforcement experience, and he's got that deer in the headlight look, and you're like, okay. And a few of them have Harbstreit on speed dial. They even call me. They call me from time to time. What do you do with this? You know,
yeah.
And I'm like, well, here's what you got to do there.
Jerry's been like, well, I've only handled that like 25 times.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, hey, I'm going to give you the last word on this. I want you to just say say what you want to say to the listeners and to the people who are going to be voting here in this primary, and tell us why we should vote for Gary Allison.
Well, you should vote for me because I have the most experience of any of the candidates that's running right now. and it's I'm ready to roll. I'm ready sure. to be there and get going, and it'll just be a real smooth transition, and people won't hardly notice a change, but they will notice 36 years walking out the door with sure. Jerry and 20 years walking out the door with Sue, but
sure.
I'm the most qualified candidate that is available, and I'm ready to go.
Very good. Well, I appreciate you coming in today. I know you're a busy guy, and you guys are working all the time, see you all over the place, but thank you for taking a couple minutes and coming to speaking to us.
Okay.
And we wish you nothing but the best.
All right. Thanks, Grant.
Focus on the Community has been brought to you by First Federal Savings Bank in Washington and Ligoti. You can listen to a rebroadcast of today's program and past shows when you visit our website, wamwamfm.com. I'm Grant Schwartzentruber, inviting you to tune in every Saturday morning at 8:35 on Memories 107.9 and the General 95.9 and 1580 WMW as we focus on the Community.